That's hitting the day. Hey, y'all, welcome to Water Break on the Fight Laugh Feast Network. This is my wife, Annie.
Hello.
And of course, I'm the water boy. It's good to be with you guys. I was just telling my team here, my assistant is out of the office. So she had a baby. So I let her go home this afternoon. Just for the afternoon. Neither here nor there. That's a good joke. That's a good joke. That email's coming out on our email list. You better sign up to our email list so you can get that joke again. Number two. Things are just very busy. So it's so awesome to be able to take time out of our afternoon and actually sit down with my wife and talk about and talk on Water Break. I love
it. Is nice.
This is becoming a fun moment for me in the midst of I'm pretty sure my stress is just like building up and mounting up, and then I sit down with you and I calm down for a little bit.
Does this feel, when we do this, does it feel like a break for you?
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah. It feels like a break because, as you saw last show, some of the topics, I just don't have much to say because today's topic is let's talk cardio. I haven't run in a long time.
That's true. I'm going to carry the conversation again.
On this one, likely. I could talk about walking. I got some tips. I'm gonna have the top five tips of Gabe been walking.
Hey, we'll get to walking. You can add your tips in.
Because you can also walk with a beer.
Yeah, you can
walk. Hard to jog with a beer.
You can walk and do a lot of things. Yeah. We'll get to that.
Make sure right now, me and Annie, Annie's website's going to be coming out here in the next coming couple of weeks, and we'll have an email list for you to sign up on. But make sure you follow my wife on Instagram. You can go to Instagram, type in Annie Wrench, and she'll be the top one, I'm sure. That comes right up.
Annie M. Wrench.
Annie M. Wrench, is that what it is? And then if you want to be in a conversation with us, email us at wrenchmedia@gmail.com. That's wrenchmedia@gmail.com. We do pretty good at responding. Sometimes it takes a week or two, but we're pretty good at responding there. So if you want to be in a conversation, ask questions, recommend topics, and everything. We will also got some interviews we'll be working on coming up. But right now, it's just me and Annie. We wanted you guys to kind of get to know us first before we started bringing on guests and everything. So we're doing this show because the fitness industry for the longest time has been a fad industry, a trend industry, there's tons of idolatry in the fitness industry in terms of image, look, self-absorption, all that stuff. So Annie has been in the fitness industry since 2006 or whatever.
Yeah, almost 20 years.
Yeah, a long time. And and of course, I've been on cross politic and all the cultural stuff for a long time. And so we've both seen a lot from kind of our differing perspectives. Hmm. And then, of course, COVID hit. So I'm kind of reintroducing us a little bit. But COVID hit. And then a lot of, I think we kind of had an additional awakening on the medical industrial complex. So that I think also kind of spurred a lot of we actually almost started this show during COVID because, we talked about it.
I was like homeschooling the kids.
That's right.
I think that's what killed it was mm-hmm. schools being closed.
That's right.
couldn't podcast at that point.
That's right. So we, anyways, that's what we started Water Break because we know health and fitness is a big topic and there's people have a lot of questions. There's all sorts of wrong information out there. And I'd say the biblical worldview is not permeated the health industry like it should.
No.
And so that's, we wanted to kind of combine our faith and in Annie's fitness, not my fitness, into Water Break. And so we hope you guys can continue to enjoy these shows. Now you can get all our past shows in our Fight Laugh Feast app and all our past shows on our YouTube channel, which is, if I get this right, youtube.com/@WaterBreakTV, that little at sign at Waterbreak TV.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And that'll get you to our YouTube channel where you can see all our past shows and everything. So today you wanted to talk about cardio.
Yeah. Well, we talked about strength training
last week.
Yeah. So it's just like, well,
I had a little bit to say about that.
Yeah. It was a good conversation.
It was.
Yeah. I got a lot of feedback about that one. Cause I think, like you said, there's just a lot of, I don't know, people,
misinformation,
conflicting information, or I don't know, people, some people maybe still need to be convinced that they should be doing it in the first place. So anyways, mm-hmm. I thought we'd talk about, it'd be a good idea to talk about the cardio or cardiovascular health, cardiovascular training.
Yeah.
That's kind of the other piece to the fitness puzzle.
Right. Now I'll just add, if you guys have been following us for the last, we've done 7 shows now, 8 shows, something like that now. If it's not obvious, it should be that especially Annie, when she's talking about these things, she's either talking about kind of what she knows to be best practice or best research or best, but at the same time, we aren't saying one size fits all in all this.
No, not at all.
And,
yeah.
And they should have picked that up on the last show when we were talking about weight training and stuff
so. Yeah.
And I, so, you know, don't, I think a lot of people, people in the health industry say, oh, this is the best and it works for everybody. And this is what I sell and this is what I do. Or and like, so you need to do it
for me.
Right.
Which is what a lot of,
diets,
influencers do. Yeah. Which influencers. Actually can hurt a lot of people.
Right. So, you know, try to walk away with what we're talking about, especially with cardio today. Like, hey, we're talking about, you know, kind of best practices, you know, principles, ideas that might work for you, but, you know, kind of know that your body is, you know, God made you uniquely in all this. And so, that's where we're going. Okay, so cardio. Let's get into cardio, baby.
Okay, let's get into cardio. So cardiovascular training, I mean, that's what cardio is short for. And I think most, my guess is most of us have it, when somebody says, oh, I need to do cardio, most of us have a decent idea of what that kind of means. I mean, just really, we're talking about any kind or type of conditioning that works your heart and your lungs and, you know, any associated blood vessels. There's all different modalities. So you can jog, you can bike, you can swim, you can
row.
Hike, you can row. Yeah. There's tons of different ways to get your heart rate up. We know that.
Yeah.
And you can also do it kind of what we would call aerobically or steady state. And you can also do it in short little bursts, like if you're going to go run some sprints or something. So it's a pretty broad category. I think we're all mostly on the same page of kind of generally what it is.
Just you saying that, I feel like my hammy is going to pull right now. Just
it just hurts
talking
to
about,
think about it.
Just hurts to think
your
about cardio.
Your cortisol is just going up.
My ham, my hammy just wanted to
as
pull.
We talk about it. And, you know, probably it's worth taking a minute to talk about what are some of the just general health benefits of doing cardiovascular training. Because I feel like... recently, I almost find myself bagging on cardio a little bit because I do feel that there's a large, I don't know what the exact percentage is, but there's a large population of people doing way too much cardio. Mm-hmm. And strength training, I think, is so important. And so sometimes, I don't know, I feel like I come off like I'm being kind of hard on cardio, but I actually think it's very important and that it should be in all of our lives in some capacity. And we'll talk about, you know, what that should look like and all of that. But it has huge benefits. And I do think it's really, really important. I mean, we talked about this, I can't remember, in a past episode, but heart disease still is, if you go to the CDC or whatever, it is still listed as the number one killer of Americans.
Next to abortion.
Next to abortion. And you pointed that, is very true. Yeah. I think right now we're at like 700,000-ish deaths per year from heart disease. And that makes up like 20%-ish of those deaths.
Yeah.
You know, so it's beating cancer. It's beating a lot of stroke. It's beating a lot of these other ways to die. And the thing about heart disease is that whilst you could, you know, have a genetic SNP, there could be something going on that's out of your control that maybe you inherited from your parents.
Yeah,
or
I was
going to
ask about that.
But oftentimes there are ways to mitigate heart disease and through mostly diet and exercise. And so many people just aren't doing that. So I think it's really worth shedding some light on that and talking about it. Like, let's at least be doing, we talked about this in our strength training conversation also. It's like, let's at least be doing the things that we can control to improve our health, improve our outlook. Okay.
So I got a question about that. Heart disease, you kind of already clarified a little bit. So the heart disease can be genetic.
It can
but also it can be just brought on by bad habits or whatever, right?
And oftentimes it is.
So how many out of that like 700,000 people or that percentage, how many do you think it's brought on not genetically but just kind of by bad living?
You know, I don't, that's a great question. I don't know the answer to that. Okay. My guess would be it's a very high percentage.
If you have the answer, email us, wrenchmedia at gmail.com.
My guess is it would be a very high percentage because the instant since, you know, just recently and, you know, you've looked at the increase of highly processed food and all the things that have come with it. Heart disease has done nothing but go up. So you definitely see a correlation at least there. So my guess is it's pretty dang high.
Well, what's incredible to me is like, you remember there's these old videos that go around in the 1920s in New York City and they're just filming people walking down the sidewalk.
Oh yeah. And there's like no fat people. Yeah. It's kind of a new
all.
Thing. It's kind of a new thing.
Yeah.
Honestly, I mean like, and I hate, I'm not saying this to offend anybody, but you used to go to the circus to see a fat person because it was that rare. It was like an anomaly.
Wow.
Now you can't not see them. I mean, you go to the playground, you go to a campus, you go to a Walmart, you go, I mean, it's
part of life and it's part of our culture
now. It's the norm. And that's I'll
just say that goes back. We talked about this a lot on, I think on the first show with the industrialization of food and like all this blessing that we're given. I have an office job. I don't throw a hammer. You know, there's a lot of blessing that surrounded all this industrialization and stuff.
Shelf-stable food.
But with that, that we need to figure out how to make adjustments with that blessing.
Right. On the health side of things, we're not it's not working well. As Americans, it's not looking good. So, getting some cardiovascular training in your life, you're going to help mitigate things like heart attack, high cholesterol, or triglycerides. It'll help bring blood pressure down, help with diabetes. So it is very, very helpful from a health standpoint to be doing something. And again, we'll talk about what maybe that should look like. It can also help with obviously weight management, bone density, especially if you're doing a higher impact type, form of cardio. It
keep your bones from breaking, walk.
And that's huge. It's huge for everyone as they age, especially women. Yeah. We talked about that. Right. Strength training also, but that impact is phenomenal.
Right.
It'll really can help decrease stress, which is interesting.
Walking or running?
Any kind of cardiovascular, any kind of cardiovascular exercise.
Right. But you also brought up that it was probably for you for a while, was maybe putting too much stress on your body.
And I know.
We can talk about that later.
Let's get to it. Yeah. Because I'm going to kind of break it down between people who are maybe doing too much and then the people who aren't doing enough. And you're absolutely right because it is.
I'd probably be in that too much category.
You're just doing too much. I've been meaning to talk to him about it. I was going to wait till the show. She's like, Gabe, you're overdoing it.
She's confronting
me. In the gym, you're just doing too much. And I'm worried. I'm worried about you overdoing it. Anyways, it can be great with stress. It affects dopamine release and also endorphin release. And those things are real. It really does make you feel less stress, less pain, and just happier. And anybody who's experienced a runner's high.
I've never been happy running.
Man, it's funny. Some people say that. I have totally experienced it. And it's one of the things about running that I actually love the most is how my brain feels when I'm done.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily get it during, especially if you're really pushing it, it might hurt and you might want to die, but that feeling afterwards, it's amazing.
I guess to me, it was always, because for me, I can't run unless there's a ball in front of me. Yeah. I'm like a dog,
you're just not wired to want to just run.
I need a basketball in front of me to run. That's
fine. Yeah, there's lots of,
the connection for me, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
The connection for me was always like the competition of it.
Right.
I felt the testosterone. I felt the energy, what do you call it when you first, adrenaline.
I
felt the adrenaline of it all. So I liked all that.
Yeah.
But when I go out on a jog, I mean,
it doesn't do it for you.
It doesn't. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Everybody's a little different, but there's quite a bit of scientific study behind that. And just what kind of chemicals are released in your brain after, any kind of prolonged high intensity type exercise.
The stress makes sense in terms of relieving stress, because I feel like my body would get loose. Cause as the day goes on for me in the office, I'm working hard and I just get tighter and tighter. So going on a run, I could see it really just relaxing.
I think it does. Yeah. I just don't think we're all as cued into what chemically goes on. You know what I mean? We just associate it with I just feel better or I feel less stressed or my mood is enhanced. But really there's I think it's just how God designed it. It's pretty cool. Yeah. I think it's great. So anyways, all that said, so that's kind of what it is. A lot of health benefits. We don't want to ignore it. Even though I'm on the everybody needs a strength train soapbox right now, I'm not saying let's just completely throw cardiovascular training to the wayside. I don't think that's true.
So you have one more left here that you didn't really touch on yet. This therapeutic ketosis. You didn't touch on that pro.
I don't know. Therapeutic ketosis shouldn't be in there.
Oh, you have it. You have it in my notes.
Did you just write down therapeutic ketosis? No, that's a copy and paste.
That's
problem.
Amazing.
That probably
I was on the wrong notes.
That's like a keto diet.
What it was saying would running. That's the reason why I brought that. I thought it made sense to me for a minute, but now you make. But it said that it helps with maybe migraines and this therapeutic ketosis line that I just read old notes, but would running also help with this? Like migraines, stuff like that?
You messed up your notes.
But it just made sense. It made it fit.
Sorry.
There we go. That's how easy it was for me.
Yeah,
all right. I'm into the right notes.
That connection isn't there. Okay. So like I said, I kind of hinted at, I wanted to there's a lot of different ways you can talk about cardio, but I thought it'd be most helpful to break this conversation down between the kinds of people. I kind of see two kinds of people out there.
Okay.
I see the people who are doing way too much cardio.
Okay.
And then I see the people who aren't doing enough or, often aren't doing any, right? So let's talk about the people who are doing way too much and who they are and what that looks like and why that might be detrimental to them.
Okay.
And then we can get to the people who are maybe not doing enough and we can talk about the different types of cardio then. Okay. So now when I'm talking to people, and I'm going to say this is mostly women. Women have a tendency to obsess over cardio more so than men. There can be exceptions.
Because they think it has such a direct connection to losing weight.
Totally. It's just it's this weird cultural, I've just got to burn the calories. I don't want to get too bulky, whatever, all the different reasons. But women tend to do this more than men. Although there can be men who are doing too much HIIT and not enough slow strength training also. But I just want to be clear here that when I'm talking about, when I'm saying you're possibly doing too much, I'm talking about like either really long, prolonged bouts of cardio, like a 6 mile run or something, or really, really high intensity, like a super intense HIIT class or a CrossFit workout. Yeah. I'm not talking about somebody who maybe goes on a 30 minute walk every day. Yeah, that is generally that kind of really low, you know, stress,
30 minute walk,
low cortisol, chill type thing is normally considered really good for most people and something that you can do. It's just kind of getting your steps in. Does that make sense? Yeah, I'm not talking to you. So if you're like, oh my gosh, I go on a walk every morning. Am I doing too much? No, you're probably not. Mm-hmm. Like you're probably fine. I'm talking about the people who are really doing intense, intense, you know, bouts of cardio often. Okay. So first off, I want to have this, I want to make this note that we need to get, when we talk about cardiovascular training or cardio work in general, we need to get our categories straight. And I think this is one of the biggest problems because I say things all the time like, well, you need to have some cardiovascular training, some strength training in your week, in your month. And a lot of women are like, oh, I totally am. Because I go to HIIT class and in HIIT class I do burpees and then I do a few pull-ups and then I do box jumps and then
all high intensity stuff.
Totally. Yeah, so like there are some in the HIIT type or even CrossFit type model, you will sometimes see movements that are, you know, technically maybe would be categorized as strength, like a push-up or whatever. But you still need to have that workout as far as how it's cueing and translating to your body. That workout, that really high intensity HIIT class, that really high intensity CrossFit WOD, that's cardio. Okay. Number one, that is by far not the best way to get stronger. So if you're categorizing the pushups or pull-ups or whatever that might happen in a, you know, a 12 minute AMRAP as your strength, I'm putting this around it. It's better than nothing. You might see some strength gains, but that is, you are not going to see the kind of muscle build, the strength gains, et cetera, doing that.
So you're just saying it's just more beneficial on the cardio side than on the strength side.
Way more. Yeah. You're not going to get stronger, number one, and we want to be getting stronger. So don't count that, you know, as much as you should be counting like slow, you know, low stress, heavy strength training down on the strength floor. Number one, don't count it. And number two, it has to go under there. If we have categories, that workout goes under cardio because your heart rate is through the roof the whole time, right? If there are burpees in the workout, if there's running in the workout, if there's box jumps in the workout, if there's max effort, you know, max rep snatches in the workout, it's cardio. Your heart rate is super, super elevated. So that's what it is. It's high stress on your body. It's categorized under cardio. So when you actually look at your week or your month of training and you categorize things correctly, oftentimes you see so many cardio you know, or at workouts under that cardio category and barely any under the very slow traditional strength training category. And we need those ratios to shift. And just again, naming things rightly from the start is really, really important. Sure. So that's one. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Another thing for those of you who tend towards too much cardio, and remember, like we just talked about, cardio can masquerade under many names. It's not just the running and the spinning. It's also the HIIT and the CrossFit and the Orange Theory and the body pump. I mean, there's so many names for basically you moving really lightweight or just your body around with a super high heart rate. It's all cardio. This is a second point, and a lot of women do this. It is not a good strategy at all, and especially long-term, it is not a good strategy to prop up a kind of crappy diet with intense amounts of chronic cardio, okay? Right. It's not good for your body to do that. There are a lot of women who are doing the hour-long spin class or the five-mile run, you know, back-to-back to back-to-back, five, six a week. Because they're doing it out of guilt because they eat bad. And part of the reason you eat bad is because of how much cardio you're doing. We'll get to that in a second. Yeah, it can be a vicious cycle, but you guys, it's not healthy. You need to be putting healthy food for the most part in your body. And long-term, it's a terrible strategy. What happens when you get a different job? What happens when you have a baby? What happens when you have four babies? What happens when you get injured? What happens at when you age and your body just can't handle running? Which if you're not strength training, I guarantee that will happen. You know what I mean? Like at some point you're going to get to, something's going to happen where you can't run 5 miles a day. It's just not, it's not a very good long-term strategy. Right. And then you're going to be stuck with a depressed metabolism, terrible eating habits, you know, and no way to mitigate that. So really it is very wise. Even if it's working for you now, if you're 25 and you just go to spin or Orange Theory every single day and it's just working for you, think long-term. And it would be very wise to get your nutrition dialed in so that if a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks have to go by due to injury, kids stuff, death in the family, you know, stuff comes up where you couldn't work out, your nutrition should be dialed into a way where that will not be catastrophic to you. And you really should have enough muscle mass built in the gym or at home to where you have a decent amount of reservoir to kind of lean back in terms of lean mass. So if that's you, think about that. Okay. Now, a couple other things, and I kind of already alluded to this, some of the other possible downsides to, again, chronic or too much, very, you know, long lasting or highly intense cardio, you can absolutely see metabolism downregulate because, again, our bodies are smart, right? And they adapt, they're adaptive, so we don't die. And if you are spinning 2 hours a day or CrossFitting intensely 6 days a week, your body's going to be like, what the heck is going on? Like, what? Why are you running from a bear every single day? Like, what's even happening? And a lot of things can happen when you send signals like that to your body. But one of them is that your metabolic rate will slow down because it's like, well, at this rate, we're gonna die. They're burning up all the, you know what I mean? Like, so that's one thing. Thyroid can downregulate along with that. And that obviously has effects on metabolism. You can see muscle wasting if you're doing too much of this and not compensating with your, you know, eating enough and strength training like you should be. You will see oftentimes increase in hunger and also what I like to call the I deserve it syndrome. Do you know what I mean when I say that? Like, okay, so runners are famous.
I do because I just didn't want to acknowledge it though.
Runners are famous for this. And I talk about running a lot because I have a background in running and I like running, but you could insert, whenever I say run, row, bike, whatever, you could, CrossFit, you could insert any other form of cardio in there, but runners are great about this. They're like, well, I ran a 4 mile run, so I deserve 2 Costco muffins.
Yeah, right.
And I'm not saying
I think it's fair trade.
I'm not saying this to be rude or offend anyone, but you guys, how many fat runners do you know? There are so many, like people who casually run, who have been running for years and are overweight and not even close to the body they want to be at. And one of the reasons for this is that running or any kind of cardio similar to it, when you do too much of it, makes you hungry. And it also makes you feel entitled to food. Yeah. Like, I'm going to carb load every night because I need to run. And a lot of times the choices you're making are really bad. The caloric, you know, like equation that you're operating off of is like not even close. And this is why I personally seen so many women train for their first 10K, train for their first half marathon even, and actually end up
gaining weight. Yeah.
So I'm not saying this to be like, no one should run ever. I'm just saying these are things to think about. Especially if
you to watch out for.
And you know, what is the definition of insanity? It's doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. So if you're a cardio bunny, if you are just like addicted to spin class, if you are addicted to Orange Theory and you're not seeing the changes in your body that you want, you might want to consider change. And you know, that's something to think about.
I like rewards though.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, there's nothing wrong with a reward, but you also have to think about, okay, what are my goals and are the actions, you know, that I'm taking.
This is going to mess up the last week I did.
Am I making fair trades in my mind? And one more thing I'll say is it's just a lot of this really high intensity or long duration cardio really can elevate or dysregulate your cortisol. And that's your stress hormone. You really start to see this, especially in women. We're more sensitive to stress. And as women get older, all the way to the point, it can get so bad where a woman, maybe one who's a little more perimenopausal, will walk into a spin class feeling nice and thin and great. And, you know, 45 minutes of hard spinning will go by and she'll walk out and her belly will literally be swollen. Like we call that the cordo belly. And that's just your body sensing the stressful thing that you're doing to it. You know, stressful in that moment, maybe stressful because it's too many times that week or whatever. And it's just flooding you with cortisol. And I mean, that's a real thing. That is not healthy. It is not what you want. It can be really frustrating to people, but we have to watch out and be aware of the fact that this sort of cardiovascular training is a stress. It sends stress cues to our body. Some amount is probably fine, but if you're doing too much, you might want to pull back. Okay, so just generally speaking here, I would say do less cardio. And I'm not saying do none. I'm just saying maybe do less if you're already or currently doing more than, I have no paper on this. This is just my opinion, but you're doing more than 4, I would say, intense sessions a week. Again, intense, like a really hard Metcon. I'm not talking about walking. I'm not talking about a nice hike in the sunshine. I'm talking about intense stuff. Okay.
Okay.
You might want to pull back a little bit. If your life is really, really high stress. And this is where we get to that seeming paradox where that you brought up earlier, because going for a jog, for example, can be really helpful to mitigate stress because of the dopamine and the endorphins and because it gets you outside and because it shakes your body out and all that. But it's also, you know, cardio is also can be a stress to your body. It can send stress signals. So I would say if you are doing a lot and you're like, man, I think I am that person. I'm not handling stress well. My cortisol is probably dysregulated. I'm doing a ton. I've been leaning on the intense cardio too much. Go for a walk to de-stress as opposed to a really, really hard spin class or something and try that for a while and see if that's better. Because yeah, if your life is really high stress and a lot of parents with little kids, people who aren't sleeping well, relationship issue. I mean, there's just a lot of forms of stress in a lot of our lives. So you do need to remember that really intense cardio is just one more drop in that stress bucket.
And you went through that process when Kenny, you were early in our marriage or not saying, or, you know, first 10 years of our marriage or something like that. You were running in a way that was probably, adding to your stress, adding to your body breaking down.
Detrimental. You're absolutely right. I was number one, I was running too frequently thinking that the more I, you know, more is better. Like the more I run, the faster I'll get. Not true. I was sick all the time. And that was just one way that my body was manifesting the stress I was putting myself under.
And I came
under.
To you and I was like, I think you need to not do as much.
And you were right. I mean, and that's common sense. You don't have to have any knowledge of exercise physiology at all to be like, you're clearly doing too much. You know, like what's wrong with you? And I really was. And you know, interesting. And my sleep hygiene was really bad. I was not sleeping enough. And you put those three things together and I was young. I mean, this was even before I had kids. So arguably in other areas of my life, I should have, you know, it wasn't that stressful, but those things were enough. And I will say this right now, just from a running standpoint, like a performance standpoint, when I made the choice to go down to 3 runs a week, and this is back when I was still running competitively, I did one threshold run, one set of sprints, one distance run, and that was it. And for a lot of runners, it's like, oh my gosh, only 3. You know, a lot of people are running every single day, maybe just taking Sunday off. I got faster. I actually got faster, training less frequently. The same goes for if you're like a CrossFit type athlete, like really do play around with what the minimum effective dose of your high intensity stuff is, because you really will have better workouts. And a lot of times your performance will go up if you are doing less. So that's,
you can overdo it.
You can totally overdo it. Yes. Yeah. Okay. A couple more things, things to think about that, you know, that might cause you to think, maybe I need to do a little less cardio. I already just mentioned the high stress life thing. If you're, if your muscle mass is already low and you know it, if you're like, okay, I know I don't have a lot of muscle. I'm thin, you know, I'm skinny, but I don't have a lot of muscle. Consider less cardio to make room for some strength training. And the same is if you are doing, maybe you're only doing cardio 3 days a week, which sounds reasonable, but if that's causing you to not have time to strength gain because or strength train simply because your life's a zero sum game, bump some of that cardio and make some room for strength training. And core training, I would say. And also I would say really look at your amount of intense cardio if you have adrenal or thyroid issues in particular, because again, it all comes back to that stress thing. You can really hurt yourself in those departments. And if you're like, I'm really need my adrenals to heal right now. I really need my thyroid to do better right now. Minimizing your really high intensity cardio will be really helpful.
And like some of that stress could look like, you know, especially for women, like your hair is falling out, your nails can't grow, you know, stuff like that.
Totally.
Where you're wondering like, you know, why is my hair falling out so much?
That's a huge one.
Or whatever. And it's like, well, cause you're probably overdoing it in your workouts. I mean, that's there's other connections. There could be other possibilities there, but that could be one of them.
And I mean like, you know, waking up in the middle of the night and you can't go back to sleep, feeling that tired and wired, being lethargic in the middle of the day when you're supposed to have high energy, feeling really irritable when it just doesn't make a lot of sense. Those are all indicators of, dysfunction with your adrenals. And you don't want to ignore that. And I think that one thing women need to learn how to do, especially in this, you know, with your kind of listeners, I just think we got a lot of go-getters, like a lot of people who are like super productive and like moms are like, what else can I take on? You know, like let's do this. I have 5 kids. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. You know, and those things are all good. And one conversation that I'm continually having to have with women in particular is just that even good things can be categorized physiologically as a stress to your body. And I think the word stress almost is stigmatized a little bit. Like, you know, it took me forever to get you to like, because I think a lot of Christians think of stress as like mental stress and that meaning that you're not trusting God. You're not, you know,
highly anxious.
You just can't handle it. You're being weak, something like that. I think, but, and I don't mean it in that way, because plenty of us, our thought game or our spiritual game is great. Like we're thriving, but your body though, that's, you know, the signals that you're sending to, I think every body has basically a bucket. And some people, I think just genetically or just the way they were born, some people's buckets are a little bigger than others. Yours is bigger than mine.
Yeah.
And some of that, I think, is just the difference between, generally speaking, a man and a woman. Yep. Our bodies are designed to be more sensitive to stress because we're the one who have the babies, et cetera. Yep. And then some of it's just person to person. But even yours, you know, not sleeping, eating a crappy diet, you know, stress with family members, getting arrested. I mean, yeah, like whatever, going on and doing a really hard workout. Some of those things are objectively great things. Some of those are objectively not ideal things, but they're all going to register to your body as a stress. And it's, so we're not making an argument like lock yourself up and just get, you know, go to the spa and don't engage with the world because you're like, I have to mitigate my stress. But it's just healthy for us to have these things in the right category.
Right.
So if your body does start to break down, if you're like, why am I sick all the time?
Yep.
Why is my hair falling out? Yep. Why am I like irritable and reacting weird to loud noises? Why am I waking up at 2 a.m. with a cortisol dump when I should not be doing that? Yeah. You need to look at the stressors in your life, at least the ones you can control, and remember that all these things, exercise intensely, intense exercise included, it falls under that category. Right. So anyways, that's really my thoughts on the people doing too much. I think you know who you are. Go back and listen to our last podcast on strength training if you want to know more about that. We said all kinds of things about that. And I think that really should be like the strength training should be kind of the center of your weekly workout, you know, kind of like the not optional. Does that make sense? Where it's like, okay, I'm going to get these two full body or maybe three full body workouts in. It's going to include my core. I'll sprinkle some cardio in. But some, you know, some weeks, if you have to miss something, miss the spin class.
Right.
Don't miss the strength training. But generally speaking, it's good for us to have, you know, something. So on that note, let's talk about the people who aren't doing enough and maybe not doing any. Let's
talk about Gabe.
Let's talk about Gabe. Yeah. So, okay. And I'm going to utilize this part of the conversation to also explain some of the basic categories or the different types of cardiovascular training that you might ideally want to add into your life, okay? Because there's different ways to train your cardiovascular systems, and they're all helpful for different reasons, okay?
Yeah, riding a motorcycle is one of them.
Right, you just get on that motorcycle and you ride. And
take a joy ride.
How you get your blood pressure down. Okay, so if you're not doing anything on the side of cardio, I want you to start both in terms of, you know, just habit, because it's a habit that you got to learn to make time for. And I think this conversation is a little harder than the nutritional one in some ways, because nutrition is, you know, you always have to eat. The conversation is more just about like, okay, how often are you eating? What are you eating? What are some changes we can make? But we all got to eat, right? But exercise, I mean, what we're talking about, at least now to this group of people, we're talking about something to add in.
Right.
So that means making time, not forgetting, prioritizing, buying the right shoes, maybe getting the gym membership, whatever. You're waking up early, you know, whatever it means. So first, we just need to form a regular habit. And we also need to find what is the best form or modality that's not going to injure you. Okay. Because no matter how great sprints are, and we're going to get to that, you do not want to start sprinting. Okay. You know how you said, my hammy, I'm thinking about, that's how you, that's how you pull a hammy. Actually, even down to, it was a time trial for junior high track.
Okay.
I was there, it was a couple weeks ago. So this was the kids, a lot of these like sixth, seventh, eighth grade kids, and this is kids who don't tend to pull things as easily.
Okay.
So this is a cautionary tale. They were doing time trials, and you know, every single kid and their dog are all wanting to run the 100 because it's fun and it's short and it doesn't hurt too bad. So they're all on the other side of the track, just running in these waves, doing the 100. And by the time all the little heats of the 100 were over, I think three different girls limped up to me because they had pulled either a hamstring or a quad just running one time. And this was after a warm up, you know, it's this is just what happens to bodies when they go from not running, especially on a hard, you know, surface to running. And this is kids. So cautionary tale if you're over 30 and they're just like, what do I do? I pulled my whatever. So just you have to build up to those more high intensity things. So all that said, everybody can start with just walking or some other equivalent to that, a very slow, you know, conversational bike, a hike, whatever works for you. Yeah. Maybe a slow swim if you enjoy swimming or you have access to water. Mm-hmm. I just use walking because it's something that people can do anywhere.
Yeah.
With anyone, you can do it with your family. Right. You need no equipment.
Right.
It's awesome for that. And I think it's very underrated, especially as a starting point. Now, do I think that that's enough? Like if I was going to tell you what is a really good, ideal, robust cardiovascular exercise plan? No, I don't. But it's a great place to start. And if you're currently doing nothing, add that in. And I've said on past shows that I've seen men in particular, just makes me so mad, add nothing but like 30 minutes of walking a day, like at lunch, like they don't even change. Yeah. They're just like, I just walk during my lunch period and lose like 30 or 40 pounds.
Yeah.
Like not changing anything else.
Right.
Okay.
Not their diet, nothing. They just walk for 30
minutes. And they're just like, I just started walking. And I mean, like what?
That was my problem the whole time.
What in the world? Yeah. And we talked about this with like the man plan. We moved a treadmill into your
office downstairs.
So that he can walk at work. So that's an idea. If you have access to a treadmill or if it's worth the investment. Like, we live in Idaho, so a lot of the year it's very dark and not very nice outside. Right. I mean, being outside is ideal. And so, you know, bundle up, do what you got to do. But, you know, if you're just being realistic, like, do you do phone calls? What do you do in your
office? Yeah, yeah. I'll do phone calls on my treadmill and I'll do a little bit. I put a computer stand on it.
Yeah, you can buy a little. That.
You can't do tons, but you can. There's certain projects I can work on while I'm on
Joel Green, who I love, calls that laptop cardio, and it's brilliant. So it's a great place to start. It's realistic. Form the habit. So go at your lunch break. Go in the morning to get some sunlight. That's ideal. Or just like walk on a treadmill at home or at your office. Think about, what do I need to do in my life? You know, set a phone timer, whatever it takes to make that happen. And you can do that almost every day simply because it's very low intensity. Right. It's very low stress. Okay. So that's where I would start. And note that I also like things that are low intensity like that, or kind of like, low intensity, low stress, because they're very synergistic with maintaining your muscle mass. Yeah. You're not going to catabolize or eat up your muscle mass, which I also like. Okay. Now, on top of that, and I would also say you could probably categorize that or anything up to like a slow, comfortable jog.
Right.
That can all kind of fall under that aerobic zone two type exercise. That's low stress. If you were in a lab, you could figure out what exact percentage of your heart rate you're at. Most of us aren't going to do that. We don't have that. But a good test is a talk test. Like, you should be able to speak. Right. Talk to your friend, talk on the phone.
Yeah.
Depending on your cardiovascular conditioning, you might have to just be walking for that. Maybe walking on incline. You could be doing a very slow jog, but it's low heart rate, low stress, you know, that aerobic work, work. So there you go. You can do a decent amount of that.
That sounds nice.
It is nice. It's not bad. And there's just really two other kind of energy systems or types of training that, if you're like, okay, now what else can I add? You know, I'm ready. Yeah. I've been walking, I've been jogging, I've been just biking, I've been swimming, I've been getting my steps in. In other words, the first thing that I would look to adding in are max effort sprints. Mm-hmm. And for some people, I mean, okay.
Go right to sprinting.
What'd you say?
You say basically, if you get past the walk and aerobic stuff, you're saying like sprinting's the next best thing.
I would, but let me qualify some things. Number one, a sprint does not have to be a run. Some people just hate running. Like, they're never like, they're just like, that sounds terrible. Some people are like, my knees can't take it.
Yeah.
It's very, there's a lot of eccentric in it. So you're way more likely to pull something, get shin splints, things like that. So there's a lot of reasons to not run, but if you want to, it's very functional, you know? And if you have a background in it or you like the idea of it, you can. But a sprint simply means going as hard as you can, at least the way I'm defining it, for 20 to 30 seconds. Okay. So you could sprint on a rower, you could sprint on an assault bike, you could sprint, you know, doing a lot of things. So it's just the intensity that we're talking about. And again, I'm talking about like 20 to 30 seconds. And this is so important because, number one, it's touching a completely different energy system that low intensity zone two stuff is not touching. Mm-hmm. And that's your anaerobic energy system. We're also training our fast twitch muscle fibers, which most of us are also, unless you're doing like explosive one rep max type stuff, plyometrics, box, unless you're doing training like that, which most of us aren't, our fast twitch fibers in our muscles are getting very little attention. And I want to note, you guys, that that's what goes when we age, interestingly. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, as somebody gets older, if you think about like a 90-year-old person, even one who's, you know, seemingly doing quite well for being 90, you know, and they're walking around or whatever, but they're slow. Everything that they do is slow. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, we seem to maintain our slow twitch muscle fibers all the way through.
Okay.
Just about the same. Yeah. But our fast twitch, naturally, it's not that they go away. It's like they atrophy.
Okay.
Like, they just slowly stop working as well. Right. Uh-huh. So training explosive things, that's it. And I would argue this on the strength training side of things also. It's not for beginners. So you have to work up to it. You got to be careful because you can hurt yourself, but working up to at least some explosive fast twitch type training, on the strength training side of things. And then also touching that max heart rate, getting super anaerobic, firing up those fast twitch muscle fibers via some kind of sprint. And again, I'm talking max effort, 20 to 30 seconds. That's one sprint. At least once a week is so good. It's so great for, it's very synergistic with holding on to muscle. It's so great for weight loss management, fat burn, and for longevity. That would probably be my biggest argument for it, is to keep your body young, so that you don't slow down, right? It's super, super important. It's also really great for mitochondrial health. So, basically it'll increase your mitochondrial health and density, which is also really helpful for metabolism and longevity. Mm-hmm. So tons of good reasons to do it. Now, I'm going to say this again, you have to work up to it. So if you're like, okay, I've been doing the slow jog, you know, my body's used to that. I'm going to try, I want to do some 100-meter sprints or 200-meter sprints. Again, 20 to 30 seconds, no longer, or else it's not a max effort. Right. You really can't go much longer than 30 seconds at a max heart rate. Like, it's not going to happen. You're going to be slowing down. Ease up to it. So you might just be mimicking that. Like, okay, I'm going to, you know, run a little faster. You know, I know I can run faster, but I'm trying not to pull a hamstring. And then the next week, a little faster, the next week, a little faster, same on a bike. Bike isn't as dangerous. Running is probably the most dangerous,
would you say doing something like this again, like two or three times a week?
I'd say once a week is phenomenal and way more than most people are doing.
Yeah.
But a lot of people argue you can hit that.
I never think of sprinting in my workout. When I do think about it, which I don't do, I mean, but when I do think about it, I think about, you know, running miles.
Exactly. Or something like that. Yeah. And actually, like, if I'm ever looking at a week and it's an extra hectic week, because I tend to try to sprint once a week, and I have a running background, so I run, but again, you could do something else. If I'm looking at my week and I'm like, okay, well, I have this 5 miler, this like aerobic zone two, you know, low stress run that I normally do on the weekend. And then I have sprints. If one has to go, I get rid of the 5 miler and I keep the sprints, because I'm thinking long-term and I don't want to lose that.
Right.
Like, I do not want to lose that. Plus, if your body deconditions, you're more at risk to pull something again. Mm-hmm. So you have to be really careful. But the way I see people, once you've worked up to it and you can really get after it and you can really hit that max heart rate, one of the things that I see people doing is doing their sprints for too long. Like, again, if it's like a 2 minute thing, that's not a max.
Where they're sprinting for a full 2 minutes.
Yeah, and it's not really, I mean, it's a sprint within that, you know what I mean? Like, you don't want to be in the no man's land, really. And so unless you're a specific athlete training for a specific thing, you want your sprints to either be like max effort, 20 to 30 seconds, or the last thing that we're going to talk about here in a second. And the second thing I see is that people are just not running hard enough. Now, granted, again, you have to work up to it.
Yeah,
right? But a lot of the times when I'm at the gym and I see people doing their sprints, they're literally just jogging faster. And again, any movement is movement,
but
you're trying to get a specific training stimulus,
they're doing
out of
what they think they're doing.
You could be getting so much more out of it. So, I mean, really max effort. That's what we want. Max effort to where you are like, woo. Mm-hmm. And then I'll say the third mistake I see is you really want, especially if you want to see that mitochondrial improvement, you want that side of the training, is that you need a decently long break in between these sprints. And a lot of people are taking like literally less than a minute and then they're going again.
Right.
And again, how are you going to go max effort when you're not letting yourself recover?
Like full recovery. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So we want high quality, very fast, 20 to 30 second bout sprints, whatever modality you're using. And then like a 2 to 3 minute recovery in between.
Yeah, that makes sense, because you can smoke a cigarette in that amount of time.
You could get outside for a cig break. Right, I mean, a quick one, you know?
How many, if we're doing like sprint workouts, are we doing like 5, 10, you know,
that's a good question. I mean, I would say,
or just for 30 minutes or.
Yeah. You know. I mean, I'd say my sprint sessions on average all hit 20 to 30 seconds, max effort, 2 to 3 minute rest in between. And I'll do that like 10-ish times.
Okay.
But you work up to that.
Yeah.
So at the start, they'll be a little slower.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to turn
yourself. Are you timing yourself so you know like what your first sprint is and your last sprint?
And you can go for distance or for time. It totally depends. Again, as long as your work is 20 or 30 seconds. And the idea is you should only continue, you know, your sixth set, your seventh set, your eighth set, if you're hitting about that same time frame every time. Because as soon as you start to fatigue, you're not at max effort anymore and you're losing that training stimulus. So you might as well just be done. And you'll build that endurance over time, just like you'll build speed. So everything will grow.
So, you know, when I was playing basketball 20 years ago in college, the coach would always, he'd go through times and moments where he'd push us in our running.
Yeah.
You know, we'd run and then he'd give us like a 10 second break, breathe it out, get back online.
Yeah. Right. Right.
You know, you're but it makes me think of like how you sprint is you're saying, if you start to lose that edge or that repeatability of the same timeline or same amount of effort, you're saying just stop because you're losing kind of because you aren't getting your max benefits out of it.
Yeah, for the benefits that I'm saying here that we're going for. So number one, I'm not sure that your coach knew exactly what he was doing. I'm not sure what he was thinking, but there's different reasons to do things. So like, for example, what I'm describing is like, we want mitochondrial health. We want max, you know, we want to be touching that max heart rate. Yeah. And that requires you going as fast as your body can go or as hard as your body can go. And we're trying to fire up those fast switch fibers. We're trying to optimize speed, right? So because of that, we're going to give ourselves long breaks. That's what's physiologically going to give us the best chance to be able to repeat that at a true max effort. I mean, in that situation, though, maybe your coach's main goal was like, I want you guys to be able to push through.
Mentally push through,
or like
whatever.
All this lactic acid that you build up in your legs and then 10-second break and then go again. And there's something to be said about that because that mimics a real game.
Where
you're having to run when your legs are like
full
of lactic acid. Yeah, and lactic acid training is a real thing. It didn't make the list because I didn't want to get too granular. But that's
not
how
too
you,
many people are
that's
worried
how
about
you
that.
Train for lactic acid or lactate tolerance is hard bouts and then very short breaks. And that has its merit too.
Right.
It just depends on what your goal is. Does that make sense? That's a really good question. Yeah. So you want to have intention. You want to have intention with everything that you're doing and not just do a bunch of junk miles, which is what a lot of people do.
So what if someone's, you know, like me, probably 20 pounds overweight, what benefit would they get from working their way up into sprinting versus, you know, jogging 2 miles a day or a week or three times a week or whatever?
Well, I mean, a lot of benefit because of what we talk. I mean,
fast twitch, faster development,
but also that
muscle gain,
the mitochondria, the effects on the mitochondria, which actually does have active effect on metabolism. And fat burn. So you'll actually see some serious weight loss benefit there.
I would potentially see more weight loss gain or more weight loss sprinting once or twice a week than running 2 miles three times a week.
You may absolutely. I mean, it's a little bit comes down to the individual. Some of it comes down to also you guys. There's so many factors. Some of it might just come down to change.
Yeah.
If you've been doing these slow
jogs for 3 years or whatever,
for some people it's like 20 years. Yeah. They've been doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Just changing what you're doing. This is true for diet too. And sometimes be all the difference. It almost doesn't even matter what it is. Arguably you want to touch that other energy system that you're not really touching in any other part of your life. Right.
Yeah.
So it can, and again, it's, and I don't even know that if experts know why it's so synergistic with maintaining lean mass. But again, we've talked about this. If you look at an Olympic sprinter versus an Olympic marathoner, you know,
the marathoner looks like a beanpole.
And the sprinter's got
good size
lots
all over
muscle.
Them.
Exactly.
Right.
I've heard some, physiologists say that it has to do with the lactate, like the lactic acid. Maybe that's what's helping them. Some say it at least just doesn't hurt your muscle. Others say it helps you build it.
Right.
And along with that comes higher metabolic rate. So there's a lot of arguments to sprint, but it's more dangerous, right? It's more painful, like in your lungs.
You can pull a hammy a lot easier.
Especially running. So you do have to be careful. That's why I keep being like, okay, ease in slowly, pick your modality wisely.
Yeah.
Anyone can probably walk, jog 2 miles with a very low injury.
Right.
You know,
versus instead of sprinting, like running up and down a hill?
Like a hill sprint. That's great.
Like a hill sprint.
That's phenomenal. Okay. And actually, a hill, it really hurts your lungs.
You can't go as fast,
and it's a little more knee friendly, right, to sprint up. So it's actually arguably a safer way to start because your heart rate is higher.
So run up a hill and maybe walk down?
Because your heart rate's higher at a lower speed, right?
Yeah.
And you're a little protected by gravity. It's a little less hard on like your knees and your quads and things like that. So that's actually a really good idea. Again, though, you need that long recovery.
Yeah.
Like max effort. Long recovery.
Yeah.
Stop doing that like slightly faster jog and then a 45-second break. That's just kind of a waste of time. Like it really is. Like again, but it all comes down to understanding this stuff.
That's helpful, baby.
You brought it up. That was really good. Well, do we have time to talk about VO2 max training?
We got a couple minutes
this
left.
This is probably the most granular, and some of y'all are going to be like, VO2 what? And I'm not even, you know. And so if this doesn't apply
if you leave
to
the show here, just email us, wrenchmedia@gmail.com. Follow her Instagram, blah, blah, blah.
But I thought it was worth mentioning for those of you out there who are already have a either already have a fairly robust cardiovascular practice, or if that's just where you want to be. So maybe you're not here yet, but you'd like the information for later. But this is the other way to train, or basically system of training that I think is helpful for people.
Put a plastic bag over your head and run.
A plastic bag over your head and you run as far as you can until you
take the bag off during breaks.
But I'm going to also say this is the most painful in my opinion, because the sprints, you're pushing really, really hard, but it's only 20 to 30 seconds and you get a long break. So sprints, I actually look forward to just to give you kind of and if I have to go do a VO2 max workout, I have to talk myself into going to the gym. Like this is painful. Okay. Yep. And basically VO2 max is simply your body's, the maximum amount of O2 consumption your body can do during exercise. So it's the max amount of oxygen you can pull in, deliver to your muscles.
Yep.
And, super helpful for performance. So if you've got a kid who's wanting to get better at their mile, or you're wanting to improve your 5K time, or you're wanting to just hang better with the HIIT people or the CrossFit, there are a lot of reasons you might do this. This will really, really, really help your performance, but it hurts so bad because what you're looking at is roughly different physiologists say different things, but I'm going to just land somewhere in the middle, like 4 to 6 minute max effort bouts. And again, this can be a run. So really competitive runners who are running fast miles, this would be like a good example would be like mile repeats. Maybe for someone who runs more like an 8 minute mile, maybe this is a max effort, like 800 meter run, you know, or you can just get on the bike and time it. So 4 to 6 minutes max effort with an equivalent or like 1-to-1 ratio break in between. And you will need it.
4 minute run, 4 minute break, six minute run. Yeah, yeah.
Six minute break. So again, it's max effort within that time frame. So obviously it's not going to be as fast as your sprinty sprint pace, right? Because that's 20 or 30 seconds, but it should be as hard as you can go on that rower or doing whatever you're doing for 4 to 6 minutes. That is painful.
Yeah.
That is painful, but it works like a charm. It will bring that VO2 max up and totally affect your overall performance. It's also just a great way to push yourself mentally. It's a great way to mix things up. Right. So I thought I'd toss that in there, and that's as sciencey as I'm going to get. Yeah. But be prepared. Send me a message if you try this, because it hurts so bad.
I can't think of a moment where I'll try that.
And you know, you can live a full life without it.
I got my producer to laugh on that.
He's like, you can live a full life without it. And again, that's why we talked about these in that order. Start with your walks. Don't get ahead of yourself, you know, and then if anything else, add those sprints in. Just do it carefully.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
That it?
That's it for now.
Okay.
Cue the music.
Thank you guys for tuning in to Water Break. And again, if you guys want to follow my wife on Instagram, you can follow me on Twitter.
Yep.
I am on Instagram, but I'm not that fun over there. And you can email us, wrenchmedia@gmail.com. And then hopefully in a month or so, we'll have a website up for Annie and an email list going and all that stuff. And
yeah, that'll be great.
Should be a grand time. So thank you so much for watching the show. I've already heard a lot of great feedback, and it's been really fun to receive that feedback. Fun. So, you know, send us a little email, a little piece of encouragement. We appreciate it. Thank you for joining Water Break.
Thanks, guys.